Hi, I'm Andrew Rich, and if you're like me, you look at the state of modern wrestling discourse and think, wow, what a cesspool. That's why I'm here to tell you about Music of the Mat Remix. That's right, your favorite wrestling music podcast is back with a new format, where I bring on a guest and we play songs related to wrestling-themed topics. It could be a wrestling reference, a wrestling concept, a wrestling pun, things of that nature. Now you might be saying, Andrew, that is a very, very tenuous connection to pro wrestling on a wrestling podcast network. Is this just an excuse to hang out with your friends and talk about music and ignore the rest of the wrestling landscape? Yes. Yes, it is. So listen to Music of the Mat Remix on the Voices of Wrestling Podcast Network, available on Apple, Spotify, or your podcast player of choice.
You have 5 new messages.
Hey, Carl, it's Jen from Finance. Could you submit your expenses this week?
Hey, Carl, happy Friday. It's Jen, Finance. Just need those receipts today.
Me again, Carl. Really need those receipts, like last week.
Please just tell me where they are. Are you by your desk right now?
Finance teams, you shouldn't be chasing down Carl or anyone else. With Ramp, expenses are sent with a text and reminders happen automatically. Switch your business to ramp.com today and love finance again.
This podcast is a member of the Voices of Wrestling Podcasting Network. Visit voicesofwrestling.com to hear the rest of our great podcasts, as well as show reviews, columns, opinions, and updates across the world of wrestling.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to the Super J-Cast. I'm Joel, joined by Damon McDonald. It is 17th of June, 2025. This is episode 366. And Damon, I regret to inform you that since we started this recording, I've been compelled to join House of Torture. So here I am. I'm a bad guy now. Get used to it. And actually, since I started uttering the previous sentence about me joining the House of Torture, I can exclusively revealed that you too, Damon, have also been subsumed into House of Torture. There's nothing you can do about that, I'm afraid. So welcome, listeners. You too have all joined the house just through the simple act of listening to the opening of this podcast. You are now members of the House of Torture. This is the Super House Cast. Welcome.
That's very good. I'm glad they got my application and it's been vetted. Oh, jeez. It's like osmosis. You just fucking become it. You just show up and you're in. You get a t-shirt and a free duffel bag. It's wonderful. Oh, Lord.
The vibes are absolutely in the toilet this week. Look at these questions we've got. So Gig says, booking your second biggest show of the year to be as unpleasant as possible with a poorly built up main event. Great booking move or greatest booking move? Sloan316 says, what illicit substances do you reckon Ghetto enjoyed before booking Dominion, aka House of Torture Fest 2025? Will says, what are we doing here? And Cigarettes After Show to adds on to Will's query, why? Yeah. Why, Damon?
I feel like there is, so this isn't the first time that I've had similar feelings in the sense of we start the year white hot. Like we're just like, so the vibes are fucking positive. We are just like the possibilities are endless. You're just salivating at, oh, and then if they just kind of nudge it this way, this, how great would that become? Dominion or G1 and they take it all the way to, and you know, your head's spinning with just the idea of what could be, and then somewhere it all goes to shit. it feels like a different promotion. It feels like the solidified booking committee, whether that's Yano and Ghetto and fucking who else might be on that? Whomever. Tanahashi, maybe he's on it. They Kikuchi. Go on vacation. Kikuchi. I forgot about the Kikuchi. The mastermind, if you will. Kikuchi.
Yeah, this is ChatGPT booking.
Oh, God, yeah. This is where you go away on vacation, holiday, whatever you want to call it. And you come back to the house and it's like, whoa, whoa. And the kids had a party. right? Or you go to your favorite restaurant and maybe they go on vacation, the actual chef and the cooks and all that. And you come back and it's fucking the guy who usually cleans up the glasses. The busboy is now behind the fucking grill. And you're like, what the fuck is happening here? And then it goes back to normal somehow. I don't know. I cannot tell you the amount of actual belly laughs that I had from the booking of this show. By the midway point, I'm just like, they're drunk. they are fucking drunk because they are just firing off late night texts to an ex-girlfriend at this point. It is fucking madness. And we're going to go very deep, I'm sure.
I dropped a Patreon instant reaction immediately after the show where I was mainly very sad and confused. So if you want to hear a sad man, write whatever you want about me. Get your fucking wallets out. Also, while I remember, I did a wonderful piece of audio, even if I say so myself, breaking down the Yano versus Super Sasadango Machine New Japan DDT crossover show. So if you want to enjoy some actual good wrestling storytelling, you go and enjoy that. But from being quite sad and baffled following Dominion, I've been thinking about things and stewing on things, and I'm not sad anymore. I'm not extremely angry. So we can have a lovely time today exploring all the badness of Dominion. But before we put on our protective gloves and hazmat suits and go sifting through the wreckage of the show and getting into specifics, where are you at emotionally following the show? Because there's a not insignificant part of me that's questioning whether I want to continue following this product.
Trust me. I've had that internal dialogue myself. And it's like, I don't want to sit here and go all panic mode and be like, fuck this. But it's like following a bad sports team. Like, do you just do it because it's A, habit? Do you do it B, because you feel like you're getting, you know, extra points for sitting out the fucking dregs? Or do you just say, you know, my time is more valuable than what they're doing here, because they obviously don't give a fuck about me. I don't know, man. Trust me, I've been down on this product before. Again, we've talked about it. We were there. We were as it happened, clap crowd and all that. And that was like probably the lowest we've been, where it's just like, oh my god, what the fuck? And now we're well past that, and somehow we're still at what the fuck? I don't know. Look, the only piece of comfort that I get is that I know we've been here before. I know we've been here in a year where it's like, again, just like I described, you're just like so high and you're like, you can't believe how good things could be. And then it's pull the rug right from under you. And you're like, and now you're sitting there with your pants down like, what? What happened? What do you mean you have an Adam's apple? You know what I mean? Like, oh, I didn't check your hands. Fuck. Yeah, that's where we are. That's what I feel like. I feel like I've been led to believe something that is not accurate.
In that scenario, I'd be like, out of pure curiosity more than anything, I'd be like, okay, we're in this situation. Let's just pull on this thread and see where it goes. I have no such desire or inclination to do that with current New Japan booking.
You'd rather do that. You'd rather explore.
I was like, right, okay, come on. We're here now. Let's see what you got.
All right, well, you are pretty. I mean, you know, whatever. All right, let's see what you got. All right, show off. All right, you know, you walk the walk. I don't think you know what you're getting yourself into, you know? Yeah, you ain't seen nothing yet. Wait till you see this. Billy, you have a penis. I have a vagina.
How long did that take us? 5 minutes?
Yeah, not that long at all.
We got Chris Samson listening to us. He says it's Swerve. I'm also in House of Torture. Which one of us is Docky? So, yeah, we're all in the house.
Was that the most disappointing one? I know we're going to get there, but was that just...
Save it. Let's focus on the nice things, Damon. Matt says, which other events could be improved by an official calligraphy partner? Lovely bit of calligraphy. I love calligraphy. I used to do that in China. Very relaxing, very therapeutic. So maybe we all need to engage in a bit of calligraphy to help us process some of the more challenging emotions that we've been dealing with post-Dominion. I don't know where to start with it. Yeah, Andrew says, you know if the booking team are using ChatGPT or another AI to help book the shows? Yeah, like I said earlier, that's kind of what it feels like to me at the moment. And I talked on Patreon about some of my concerns with 2025 New Japan. And primarily, it's this general feeling of staleness that the wrestlers and factions have just been left without any kind of overarching guidance and just beginning to atrophy. And while Chris is here, he echoed a lot of my thoughts when he was on Keeping It Strong Style last week, that like the vibe we're getting here is that the people in charge are essentially letting the inmates run the asylum. Like, they know money's not great. There's other alternatives elsewhere. So they're trying, to varying degrees of success, to keep everyone happy. And that has resulted in a real lack of bold and decisive action to capitalize on and preempt the changing landscape around them. Because the curtains are on fire now, Damon. We've got major stars leaving the company with no clear plan on how to maximize those departures to the benefit of the roster. These guys are like being left to book their own exits from the company where they can just muck about with their pals and the next generation just left standing with their dicks in their hands. The factions, they're another case in point. Strong Style, remember them? Fizzled out. Guerrillas of Destiny, fizzled out. Just Five Guys, fizzled out. Chaos, fizzled out. LIJ, fizzled out. That's five factions, and that's two major factions that have just slowly bled out before our eyes with no attempt to create any drama or closure or progression or elevation of the next generation. Just like backstage, people go, oh, I guess this is over. That's absurd to me. And other examples, like United Empire, complete mess. Post Osprey to an embarrassing degree. You got to do something. I don't know, like do a tournament to decide who the leader is or have someone from the office just tell them who the fucking leader is. But no, it just feels like everyone is left to figure things out for themselves. And there is a lot of value in that kind of creative freedom for the more talented wrestlers to follow their own instincts. And like our friend Josh from WeWork Stiff says, it's the narrative approach where the characters and their organic interactions and organic developments come first, and then the stories follow as a result. And that's an approach that's reaped rich rewards for New Japan in the past. But something feels different now. Something feels
because there's no guardrails.
Right.
There's no, like, if you leave that up to a wrestler's own device, like, you're going to get a lot of what this is, if that's the case, right? Like, you need guardrails, and you need guardrails in just about everything. I could hire the greatest guitar player on God's green earth, whomever that might be in your eyes, to help finish out a song. But if I don't give that person some type of guardrails, you're going to wind up with a fucking mindless Eddie Van Halen guitar solo. You know what I mean?
Like, yeah. Yep.
Like, you're just going to get a guy who could, oh, I can hit 5,000 notes in 2 seconds. Great. But what does that mean for the song? That's where we're at. We have no guardrails, and the guardrails that should be there, it feels like it's shoulder shrug. I feel like we have split personality promotion. I don't understand it. And once again, where the fuck are the checks and the balances here? Like, where are the guardrails for the people who are establishing the fucking guardrails? That's what I want to know. I'll never blame a wrestler for going rogue and doing what they think is right for their own benefit, because at the end of the day, that's all they can really depend upon. But where are the guardrails for the people to make the guardrails? Help me. Fuck.
And it feels like even when they do try and do things like put stakes on things, like, may as well not have bothered. Like, we had that Loser Leaves Bullet Club dog pound cage match, like the stipulation of zero consequence. It was a minor rebranding exercise at best. And I really feel and felt that we're lacking someone to take control and say, right, we're doing this, you're doing this, you guys are having this match. Losers are moving here. You're the leader of this. You guys are going to join these guys rather than just being left to figure things out for themselves. And I was sitting there asking myself, where's the vision? Where's the leadership? And looking at a company that just seemed terrified of upsetting its employees. And that fear has led to paralysis and stagnation. Like we got, what was the attendance here? It was 6,525, right? That's half the crowds that they used to get pre-pandemic. The new generation, nowhere near where they should be. There's a tangible lack of new stars pushed to a meaningful degree, a deeply conservative world title scene. And we reached a point where I wasn't sure if this company were actually telling any stories, but it turns out I was very wrong about that. They are telling one story, Damon, and as we're going to discuss soon, it's a fucking stinker, but we're all standing here waiting for New Japan to do something, and that monkey's paw finger curled. They certainly did stuff on this show. They saw the curtains were on fire and went to fetch the can of petrol.
we've been kind of clued in on maybe some of the reasons behind some of this stuff, but... Oh my God. Who's the dude that used to always question us, but we don't really, what was his name? And he would always complain about House of Torture and this is not what I want. I wonder if he's still sticking around.
Antonio.
Who was that? Antonio. Is Antonio still around? I haven't heard from Antonio in quite a while.
Antonio, just reach out. Let us know you're okay, dude.
Well, I don't think he is. If this product is being force fed down his throat, yeah, you're right. You know what I really got the feeling of? And even though they're in title matches and even it feels like one, they're afraid or they're concerned of the talent that's they're trying to bring up. I don't think they trust anybody. I don't think they feel like they have anybody that they can go with. And B, the old true tried things that they've done in the past, we're sick of it. And the people that they choose, whether that's through because they're owed favors or because t-shirts happen to be hot for a month or whatever, you're just left here with this undeniable, what are we doing? Turning off this show, I'm telling you, Joel, I was probably more frustrated with New Japan Pro Wrestling than I've been in since Clap Crowds.
And how much of that percentage-wise is down to House of Torture?
I mean, a good amount. We've had plenty of shows where the undercard has been mid to what the fuck? Right, we've had a lot of that, but the main events have carried the show. And I think we had another one of that, but I think the undercard was so down that like you had to climb out of a 6-foot ditch to get to get anywhere where you could stomach this show.
Mm-hmm. It's like you go into a fancy restaurant and spend a lot of money for like a set meal, and for the first 3-4 courses they've just served you dog shit, and then after that they've given you some delicious things, you know, a bit of steak and lovely pudding, but as you're eating those you're still thinking about the dog shit that you were served earlier.
And it
ruined the show for me. I couldn't enjoy the actual good stuff that was on the show because I was just so upset by what I'd seen beforehand.
I don't think if we sat here and said, okay, give me a worst case scenario, we could have done it better, you know. I really don't. I think it's truly was a worst case scenario, and then that worst case scenario multiplied by 3. I don't know. I mean, and maybe I'm. Here's the thing: the show itself. You could say, okay, take this show, put it in a pocket, and that's that. But that's not the problem. The problem wasn't the show. The problem was everything that the show revolved around was based off of the elevation, promotion, and continual push of a storyline of something that we have no desire to see, let alone see at the rate and the forcefulness, we'll call it, that we saw. It was
not a storyline. I push back. It's not a storyline. There's not like a beginning, middle, and end to this. It's just a thing that happens. And right, let's cast our mind back to last June the 4th, right? With President Tanahashi's 10-point plan for the future of New Japan, right? I'm gonna find it because Chris tweeted it out a while ago. I'm going to get it, right? I'll just read a few of them. Mm-hmm. Right, number one, talent discovery and development. Young talent should wrestle in more high-level spots. Like, have we done that? Iffy. Wrestlers still need to earn their spots in tournaments like the G1. Right, we'll stick a pin in that. We'll come to that one later. Right. NJPW wants the best wrestlers in their early 20s in Japan. Two, elevating the value of title belts. It is important to clarify the role and concept of each title. Strong titles will be defended on USA shows only going forward. You know, how's that going? Company acknowledges that tag titles are about to be combined at Dominion. As someone told TJP, and no Templari, whoever the fuck it was that he won those strong tag titles with. The process may take time. The company acknowledges that 13 titles may be challenging to follow. This process may take time, 12 to 18 months. Well, we're 12 months on. How are we getting on with that, lads? And here's a good one. Three. God.
Go ahead.
Reducing, eliminating outside interference. They haven't determined concrete penalties, but interference will be limited. The company acknowledges the fans' frustration regarding House of Torture. Now, if I'm doing my dates correctly, at the time of that address, House of Torture had 6 members. Now we've got 10! 10 people in House of Torture! That's not a faction, that's most of the shitting undercards! Where does this end? The sheer audacity of this company to tell us that last year and have all of us cheering and clapping like seals and then serve us this fucking slop. It is deeply insulting and it makes me not want to watch anymore. I was talking earlier about character-driven narrative where, you know, we got the golden age of New Japan as these complex, larger-than-life personas that they're afforded the freedom to evolve and grow, and their interactions, their conflicts with each other led to some of the greatest matches and rivalries we've ever seen in professional wrestling. And now it's like, you know, that butterfly meme, the guy pointing at the butterflies, the New Japan bookers looking at House of Torture saying, "Ah, oh, is this character-driven narrative? Is this storytelling?" It is not, right? It is not. And I always say the worst feeling as a fan is when your suspension of disbelief is ruined. Like, you can feel that invisible hand of the booker moving pieces around. And that is what I'm feeling. I'm feeling that hand up my ass. And make no mistake, there is no story here. This is not a story. This is guys being approached backstage by the bookers, being told, right, you're in the House of Torture now. Some are pushing back on that. All the respect in the world to that. And others are, you know, maybe they don't have the seniority for it. And they say, oh, okay, then now they're in House of Torture. And the previous iteration of that character no longer exists, right? They become a two-dimensional Hanna-Barbera cartoon villain. There are no motivations, no nuance, no interpersonal conflicts, no development, no progression. You are frozen in time as a cartoon villain. And this, Damon, this is the great story of New Japan Pro Wrestling in 2025, right? It's Hontai versus House of Torture. It's cops and robbers, goodies and baddies, where there aren't actually any well-developed characters or stories. It's like the pro wrestling equivalent of a six-year-old playing with a bunch of toys. And let's be absolutely clear about things. This is what we're getting from now on. This is the dominant theme in New Japan moving forward. We are loading up the G1 with the House of Torture in our brightly lit prefectural gymnasium. So I hope you like interference and ref bumps and foreign objects, because that's what we're fucking getting. And why? Because they sell lots of merch. That's it. And if you're sitting there thinking, well, surely there's an end game here, surely this is going to build to a dramatic and satisfying conclusion where there's, you know, some sort of faction disband match, and it comes down to, I don't know, Tanahashi against evil. Finally, Tanahashi kills the head vampire, House of Torture disappears, and all the wrestlers that were previously in the house go back to normal. I hope I'm wrong, but you're fooling yourself. I do not think there is a payoff coming. I do not trust New Japan Pro Wrestling in its current form to have an end to justify these means.
Yeah, it'll just fizzle out like the 9 things that you pointed out that could have been really wonderful, well-developed, you know, get guys over that need to get over. No, it's just like it didn't exist, right? I don't know. Look. It is incredibly frustrating, yes. And you're right. I don't see an end in sight because they're in shoulder deep. It is in the most basic form of bad versus good. I think a lot of people that, and I'm not sitting here trying to sit, you know, we're sitting here on a leather chair with a pipe, you know, curling our beards saying, oh, pro wrestling. We're not doing that. But I think we're a little bit more developed than that, right? We can handle a little nuance. We can handle a little thinking. We're smart cookies. Trust us. And again, if this is about merch and if this is about – here's what where I really got a real kind of silly me for thinking different. This is still pro wrestling. As much as you gave the pro wrestling good guy, bad guy analogy, pro wrestling promotions are the fucking same. They are the same. Things have not changed since the small, tiny – I'm telling you right now, Joel, New Japan Pro Wrestling feels more like a Dennis Carluzzo show than – a Dennis Carluzzo show. Like I would just love to be in that locker room. Like it feels incredibly disjointed and it feels incredibly, we're just flying by the seat of our pants, but we're going to make it look like we know what we're doing. I just have absolutely, I can't say I have no faith because here's the thing. They can do it and they've done it. And I just find it inexcusable being, given the talent, given the backing that we have of a major company that doesn't even know we exist except when the shit hits the fan, let's be honest. It's just amazing. It just feels it still feels like a shitty indie pro wrestling promotion. And I'm saying that about the thing I love. You're a shitty indie pro wrestling promotion at this point. I don't know, because it's about the bottom line. It's about how much money can we make? And if this is making us money in any way, shape, or form, then it must be what we do again and again and again. And it just seems incredibly silly.
I suppose we had to talk about the matches at some point. A kickoff match, Katsuya Murashima and Shoba Kato defeated Daiki Nagai, Masatoru Yasuda, 8 minutes, 15 seconds. Murashima got the submission win, forcing...
Don't worry, kids. Don't worry, kids. It's not going to get any better for you either.
How long before one or more of these kids end up in House of Torture? Are they all going to House of Torture? Just pop them in now, save us the bother.
I would be like, you know what? Just get me on excursion. Put me anywhere on planet. I'll wrestle in the fields with those backyard wrestlers, and where was it, Africa or whatever, where the fuck they are.
I was just thinking that one popped into my head as well.
Right? I'll send them there, man. In the dirt, in the mud, and I'll go there because it seems like a better idea than me being plopped in House of Torture. Next.
First match, special 8-man tag match. Taiji Ishimori, Chase Owens, Clark Connors, Driller Maloney defeated by the team of Sanada, Ren Narita, Yujiro Takahashi, and Don Farley. Look, before I start talking about the match, I just want to give some love to Giant Gonzalez in a thong, Sanada. That was an incredible... I tweeted out, nothing's going to beat that. And that was actually the highlight of the show because at that point, I didn't know how bad it was going to get. So I was happy then and I saw what he was dressed as and I thought, oh, this is great. And so I want to just hold that and cherish that moment. And that was absolutely...
How much?
A lot,
how
I hope.
Yeah.
I love him. I ironically love Sanada now because he's just absolutely taking the piss. Yeah. And
you know how
good.
People just spend frivolously on like designer bags or I have a fucking, you know, whatever brand, blah, blah, blah. And like he's spending this money and you know, the promotion's not spending the money. He's spending money on this nonsense. Like,
I want to be one of his teammates. Like, imagine you're Ren or something, and then you're chatting with him. Like, okay, Seiya, so we, you know, got big show coming up. You got anything planned for it? It's like, oh yeah, I've got a nice outfit in mind. So like, oh yeah, you're going to show it to us? Like, yeah, sure. You know, goes into the dressing room and walks back out. And they're like, okay, that is, I like it. This is good.
You know
how I'm describing it firsthand. It's like, yeah, I've got an idea. Like, maybe you can help me workshop it. Oh, okay. So, what are you thinking there? Giant Gonzalez in a thong. God. Okay, that's yeah. I can see. I can visualize it.
Yeah, it's unbelievable. You know how like some of these designers, like you wouldn't be caught dead in something like you're just like when they have these fashion shows, and you're like,
no, he's walking around Harajuku with that outfit on.
Absolutely.
The Astro Boy boots, the cigar, the guitar.
Yeah.
I've fair fucks to him for treating all this with the absolute disdain that it deserves. So Daryl says, I thought Farley was supposed to be taking all this time away getting in shape. Was the shape round? I laughed, David. I laughed at first when I was told who X was going to be. Never did I think I'd see an X that would have me on my knees begging for it to actually be Taguchi. And it was funny at first, devoid of the context that was about to slap us in the face throughout this show. You didn't need a degree in WeWork stiff good looking ology to see the Chase Owens turn coming either. So I hand wave this as just a reshuffling of the jobbers, like get the losers away from the cool guys in War Dogs. But then the more I thought about it and the more annoyed, the more angry I got that on the second biggest show of the year, in the opening match where you want to set the tone for the show and live up to the mystery and the intrigue that you've created by announcing an X, to then have, of all people, fat fuck Farley waddling his useless, barely mobile bariatric ass down to the ring to kick off Dominion. In the year of our Lord, 2025, Damon, people paid money for this.
Yeah.
People have spent their hard-earned cash to buy tickets to this show, to sign up for New Japan World, so they can give us this talentless, corpulent grifter, this complete fucking waste of space, and expect us to be entertained. And I don't know. To some degree, I can compartmentalize that, setting aside my strong belief that Farley is an absolute cancer, poisoning the wrestling scene in Oceania and doing irreparable harm to the...
Wait, you're talking about Farley? I thought you were talking about Chase. I'm sorry. Okay, go ahead. Come on. Go ahead. I'm sorry. Farley.
The damage that he's doing to the possibility of Australia, New Zealand being a viable talent pool for New Japan and pro wrestling in general. Like, I'll set that to one side, knowing he's probably not going to be featured heavily. And look, if he beats Oiwa in that G1 qualifier, then I'm calling the banners, right? We're marching to Suidobashi with the torches and the pitchforks. But I don't think that's going to happen. I'm not going to rule it out. I don't think that's going to happen. But what really got on my tits, thinking about Tanahashi saying, as I said earlier, wrestlers still need to earn their spots in tournaments like the G1, is facing the very real possibility, and dare I say probability, of a grade one climax in 2025 featuring the Lone Star Outlaw, Chase Owens. It's too much for me, right? Chase Owens at the expense of Tomohiro Ishii, Yoshihashi of Taichi. It makes me physically sick. Chase Owens, nice little undercard enhancement guy. He's a solid veteran to help build the next generation. Chase Owens is not one of the top 20 heavyweights in New Japan Pro Wrestling. And I don't give a fuck how much tobacco he gives to Sugabayashi every time he comes to Japan, or his baby's first pony ride vignette that makes Steven Seagal look like Laurence Olivier, or how long he's been working for New Japan, or how he filled in late notice in Best of the Super Juniors a decade ago. This is a fucking embarrassment. This is making New Japan into a laughing stock. All the rival promotions and fans, all those bad faith hate watchers, they are pointing and laughing at New Japan, and rightly so, for pushing these two talentless carnies. And for what? To reward their loyalty. What loyalty? Do you think they wouldn't be on the fucking plane the second a better offer were to come in? The reason they've lasted this long is New Japan is because nobody else fucking wants them. And when I sit there next month and force myself to watch House of Torture Chase Owens pin Yoshihashi and claim a spot in the G1 climax, I swear to God, I might just unsubscribe. I might do it. I certainly won't be watching 9 more Chase Owens singles matches. I've got more desirable things to do, like put my fucking head in the oven. Chase Owens back in the G1 climax. God help us. I can't, Damon.
It is like, why? It's not like, oh, we're going to save on travel. Oh, we're going to say, like, there are countless guys that would give up everything they have to get a spot in a high spotlight tournament like that. Because a tournament like G1 allows people to get jobs, and it allows people to see bigger things in their pro wrestling career. And we have just rewound the tape at least 5 years, probably more. Like, give me the peak of Bad Luck Fale. I'm thinking like him against like Okada, you know, or him against like
Nakamura, like, yeah. 2050.
I mean, we're like 15, 19, like we're in that range. Like,
did you see the fucking state of him, Damon? The state of that man when he walked out behind the curtain, this enormous fat pig with his beard and his stupid prison outfit. This is... Oh,
I mean, you pretty much described to me
so
here,
but
that's okay. I won't. Minus the prison outfit, but I'll be better dressed. But, you know. Yeah, you know what it reminds me of?
It's not funny. It's not funny. This is sad. This is embarrassing. Oh, God. I feel like crying.
There was a time where someone shared me a story about Wrestle One, and somebody won a world title, and I have no idea why. And this is like they're drawing like 500 people at Corican, if that. And the reason why somebody won a title is because they sold a bunch of tickets. Like, literally, that was the reason. They sold a bunch of tickets, and they were like, well, okay, well, this guy can bring us, you know, this guy could keep the lights on for us, so we're going to give him the world title. Their world title. And that's what it feels like to me. Like, I have no, trust me, I have no idea why we're there other than, well, this is either favors being cashed in or, like, there's, like, again, there has to be a benefit, you would think, right, to New Japan Pro Wrestling to take this course, to go this route, right? You would think, are they saving money? That doesn't make much sense because they're flying two guys over. Is it match quality? Can they just give you these banger, right? These banger match? Like, okay, that can't be it. So, like, is it that they prepare great meals on the road and everyone can't get enough of Chase Owens's lasagna? I find that hard to believe, to be quite honest with you. So it's like, where is the value? Is he such a locker room general and a locker room leader that people just gravitate and he motivates the troops to go out there and just fucking I've yet to hear that. So what's the reason? What's the reason for this? And it feels like it's I scratch my back. I'm a fucking idiot. You scratch my back, and I'll scratch yours. That's the only thing I could possibly. That's the only explanation that I can give you. That's the only thing I could say. Like, what other reason? You mean to tell me that this roster doesn't have studs that can take the place of those two bolts? Come on. Right? We're not stupid. Well, we kind of are, but, you know, not really. It's just amazing to me. And I can't tell you how many people text me. You know how people love to just fucking, you know, when things turn to shit, that's when people are the noisiest. I guess maybe us included. But, okay. I can't tell you how many texts I got of, what the fuck? Did they just do blah, 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 blah? Yep. Did they? Yeps. Oh, my God. And... we're trying to build a fucking fan base here. And not for nothing, New Japan Pro Wrestling. You're making it incredibly difficult on yourself.
We don't like doing this. We want it to be good. We want to be coming really on this podcast and praising and talking about how brilliant it is and how excited we are for things coming up. This hurts me to do this, but we have to. We've got to be honest. It stinks.
It's so disappointing. It really is. I mean, I don't know. I'm trying to think of like analogies in life of what this equates to. And it's kind of like, I don't know, the thing that you've been looking forward to for a decent amount, and you knew that, okay, maybe the weather isn't going to be great, but we're going to tough it out, and maybe, no, the restaurant, you're ankle deep in water and there's rats everywhere. That's what it feels like.
So that's the first match. Second match, right. A special tag match. Ryohei Oiwa and Zack Sabre Jr. defeating El Fantasmo, Shota Umino. Yeah, it's hard to concentrate after what happened in the last match. I thought there was going to be like tag title challenges set up or TV title challenges, but it turned out to be heating Zack up again to challenge for the world title again on an untelevised show that's going to presumably be put on New Japan World at some point from after the fact. I don't know, man. The match was fine. Shota Umino, I've been hoping that this sort of more serious edge to his character, like the Kensuke Sasaki stuff, signaled like a turn in the road for him. But then he put on the silly ELP sunglasses and I thought, oh God.
Right.
He's still got no idea what they're doing with him. So that depressed me. Just that was it. Just him putting on a pair of sunglasses. I was like, oh, fucking hell. that sent me spiraling as well. The match was good though.
Yeah, I mean, on the entire show and the entire scale of the show, this is probably the one of the least offensive things, but it's definitely magnified 20 times just because of everything that we've had to go through. Look, once again, I love Zach. He's one of my favorites, but do I want what was again, I feel like we do better just off the top of our heads when we do this show. We have better scenarios. And this was just like, oh, okay. Okay. Fine. Great. Match wasn't bad, though. You're right. Match wasn't bad. I mean, there's a lot of talent, right?
These are the two Tokyo Dome main eventers in this match. You wouldn't know it, would you?
Oh, God, no. Holy fuck, no. Nah. Yeah, you certainly wouldn't. And yeah, it was, I mean, again, the match, here's the thing, a tag match like that, it feels like you could do multiple things and maybe that would just be too much, right? You already had 9,000 pieces of wackiness before that. Maybe they just wanted to just go straight ahead and say, okay, this is just about, we'll figure out the rest later. But yeah, just a little, again, maybe. The idea of just Zach is more like, be careful what you wish for, I guess is what I'm trying to say, right? Because this could have gone three shades of shit. And now it's just like shoulder shrug and I'll take shoulder shrug is throwing confetti at this point, right?
Yeah. Any match that doesn't have House of Torture implications is a blessing at this point. So we'll take this one. This is a win. Third match, Hiroshi Tanahashi Final Road Connection. Tanahashi defeated Yu Uemura in 9 minutes, 30 seconds by pin. So a bit surprising. Like there's part of me thinking, should we be doing this? Should you be losing to Tanahashi in the state that he's in? But I can see what they're going for here. Like, you know, you're getting a bit cocky and then he got caught out by the wily veteran Tanahashi. So he's got to really fight for it. He's got to earn that passing of the torch moment. Tanahashi's not just going to hand it to him. So they will be both in A block in the G1. So maybe I'm assuming Yuya will eventually get his win over Tanahashi on a bigger stage. You know, maybe they do that at the Yokohama show or whatever, or that's like that could be like, I'm just playing devil's advocate. I'm trying to be positive. Like maybe that is Tanahashi's final block match, like his final ever G1 climax match is against Yuya, and Yuya gets his win back there and earns the credibility and the passing of the torch moment. But
night five in small farm town, Japan.
Lights, basketball hoops.
Yep, the whole nine yards. Yep, but that's where that big win's going to come.
I didn't have a massive problem with this in the grand scheme of things, but you sound like you're doubtful.
It is June 17th. Yes, we do have the entirety of G1, and things can magically happen. It's pro wrestling. We have 7 months till Dome. It's not like we have a 2-year storyline here. It's not like we have 6-7 months. So I don't know where this bigger stage is going to occur. If it's a deciding match in G1, okay, I'm down for that. Sure, why not? But if it doesn't, and boy, I have no faith that it will. What the fuck are we doing here? Hiroshi Tanahashi is an absolute fucking legend. Maybe the greatest New Japan pro wrestler of all time. How about that? But in 6 months, he's going to be wearing a suit and tie full time. And we're trying to build a young guy who needs all the fucking help he can get because he's swimming upstream with this fucking promotion. Get a win. Who gives a fuck? Give him the win.
Wait, so hold on a second, Damon. You're suggesting that to make these young wrestlers into stars, they should be winning wrestling matches.
A novel concept. I know. We're doing Hanna-Barbera bits now.
I forgot to ask you, Dave. This is completely unrelated, but Chris has said, when does Damon's first horse riding lesson hype video drop? Did you see the little vignette that Chase Owens made?
No, I have heard about it.
God, you've not seen it yet.
I just can't. Like, I would just throw my phone because
it's not funny
wall.
Anymore. Yeah, it was funny at first, but now it just makes me angry. But
yeah. Now, as you would like to say, he's just taking the fucking piss at this point.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Like, who's laughing to the bank now? You know what I mean? We're ranting for 49 minutes. Chase Owens is fucking sitting back on his fucking couch playing
listening
in his fantasy
this,
football.
Laughing at us.
Yeah, laughing at us jitbags. And his feet are playing in his fucking fantasy football team. You know? Who's the dummy? Don't answer that.
Fourth match. IWGP Junior Tag Championship match. Mm-hmm. Sho and his surprise partner, Dorky, defeats Yo and Master Watto to win the tag team championships. 10 minutes, 52 seconds by a figure four leg lock. So, supposed to be Kanemaru. He had a sling on his arm and thought, oh, something's up here. And when Doki's music started playing and he came out, my brain just refused to accept it. And Shruby says, what are they thinking with Doki? Popular babyface that got injured during his big moment, and you bring him back as another House of Torture tag partner of a show.
Thank you.
Why not try to pick up where you left off? Look, Damon.
Yeah.
The thing you have to remember about New Japan fans is that they famously love it when you take their beloved underdog babyface junior heavyweight in the ultimate Cinderella story, coming from the grimiest of indie promotions to defending the junior heavyweight title at Wrestle Kingdom with a famous kabuki artist doing the intro against his friend and mentor who had said opportunity cruelly snatched away with a gut-wrenching early injury. The fans love it when you take that guy who we've been waiting to see for months, and instead of bringing him back to the joy and adoration of his fans, you just put him in House of Torture as well. We love that. That's great. And no need to explain why he's there. Don't bother. We don't need motivations. I know he's joining the guys he's had fucking blood feuds with, but they're mates now. That's all fine. We've learned our lesson from the Sanada-style slow burn descent into the House of Torture. We're just speed running it now. Wrestling done quick. Any percent. Glitches allowed. Wrong warping. Doki immediately to the end game, saving us months of unnecessary storytelling. Just pop him straight into the House of Torture. Thank you very much. Save us the time. You know what, Damon? Let's just put everyone in House of Torture. Put the whole fucking roster in. Every single young lion, future star, beloved babyface, elder pillars of the company. Stick them all in. All in the House of Torture. Let's go. All bets are off.
I felt so bad for a lot of people that hitched their wagon to Doki. And this is their payoff. Like, this is
he's
it.
He's done. He's toast.
Yeah. It's unbelievable. Any
of the wrestlers improve since joining House of Torture?
Tough. Please. Come on. I'm really struggling to not just completely hand wave this promotion for this alone. The idea,
it's the stupidest thing they've ever done. I can't.
Oh, there's a lot of stupid things. Shall we list them? let me get at my scroll. It's unbelievable. And at every turn and at every corner where people have hitched their wagon to a guy and have passionately supported, paid money, traveled long distances, bought the merch, they've been fucked. And I defy you, Joel, to name me a situation where they haven't been.
If you love to travel, Capital One has a rewards credit card that's perfect for you. With the Capital One Venture X card, you earn unlimited double miles on everything you buy. Plus, you get premium benefits at a collection of luxury hotels when you book on Capital One Travel. And with Venture X, you get access to over 1,000 airport lounges worldwide. Open up a world of travel possibilities with the Capital One Venture X card. What's in your wallet?
Terms apply. Lounge access is subject to change. See CapitalOne.com for details.
And you can go down the laundry list, and you can start at Doki, and you can go to Naito, and you can go to Los Ingobernables as a whole. You can go, hell, if you want to throw Okada in that mix, go right ahead. Even to certain, you know, there are a lot of people that fuck, and your mileage may vary, but you know, at one time, Kota Ibushi was a pretty fucking big star in this promotion. And there are a lot of people that do not like the way he was kind of shown the door. And again, there's two sides to every fucking argument. But how many times has a New Japan Pro Wrestling fan, and again, I'll use the term, hitched their wagon to a person and they got behind them to only be let down, not by anybody else, but by New Japan Pro Wrestling? It's fucking comical. And here's a perfect example. If it weren't for dorks, and I use that in the most affectionate way, if it weren't for dorks rallying behind Doki, do you really think he would even be in this position that he's in now? Come on. Really? And this is what you do to reward them. Again, maybe at the end of the day, this is all just one gigantic big swerve and everyone gets to have their cake and eat it too. Well, I hope that day comes. But if you have that on your calendar booked in, and you're going to be sadly disappointed because countless times it has happened where you, kind listener, have been disappointed and left at the altar. How many more fucking times are you going to go to the well? That's my question. How many more times are you going to be disappointed? How many more times are you going to be like, you know what? Fuck this. I'm tired of this. I'll go watch fucking baseball in the summer and just hold on to hockey season or football season or get behind Chelsea or fucking whatever the fuck you do.
At least Arsenal and the Maple Leafs are not deliberately trying to disappoint us.
Right, exactly. You know, well, sometimes I have doubts. But anyway, it's unbelievable. And once again, let's bear in mind here, sports is weird. A bouncing puck one way could fucking turn a series, right? One injury and your fucking season turns to shit. One tournament and it falls apart. This is pro wrestling, where we determine the outcome. How many times are you going to fucking let this happen to yourself? And I think New Japan has taken your fandom for granted. How about that? And truth be told, it feels like they've taken all of us for granted. And there becomes a time, a tipping point, where you don't buy the ticket, where you cancel your subscription, where you say, you know what, I don't give a fuck anymore. I'm tired of it. When is that day going to come for you, dear listener, as you hit stop on this podcast and say, fuck it, I'm listening to the music? I'm curious.
Fifth match, IWGP Tag Championship match. Taichi and Tomohiro Ishii defeating Callum Newman and Great Khan. 12 minutes, 46 seconds, Black Mephisto. Finally, some good, nice, happy wrestling with wrestlers that I like doing good wrestling and the right people winning and happy times. This was great. And an oasis in the desert. Nice little sprint, hard hitting. Everyone had their working boots on. Everyone looked good. And I love the development of this Tai Chi Ishii tag team of guys who have gone from hated rivals to caring about each other. What a lovely moment it was at the end when Tai Chi got the three count and then Ishii just jumped on him and gave him a big hug. I've never seen Ishii do that before. And that meant something. That was really special. I enjoyed that a lot. So how are we rewarding these guys, dropping them from the grade one climax, presumably? I say every week on this podcast, Tai Chi is grossly underused. The fans love him. He's still an incredible worker. There is a Goto-style story there if the company wants it. But they don't want it. They obviously don't like money. And Ishii, it seems like a stupidly obvious thing to say, he can still go. He should be forced to work the G1. I don't care if he thinks he's got a gammy knee and can't hold up to doing a grueling tournament like that. Fuck it. Get some pain-killing injections. Strap it up. You're going in the 20, mate. We fucking need you. Hall of Famer. He won't be in. He should be. He must be, but he won't be. Strong open weight champion, lest we forget. Tomohiro Ishii, but yeah, I mean, at least the right team won here. I'm happy about that, but I've managed to somehow turn the nice, happy thing into a complaint.
Well, listen, Ishii's got some AEW dates he's got in the summer. He can't be fucking.
That was it. Yeah, we were fed this line last year, like, oh, he can't hold up to it physically, and then he did a fucking meat grinder of appearances in the US to work in these intense matches. I was like, whoa, what's going on here?
I'll tell you what's going on here. How much, sir? Let me add another zero to that. But okay, fire away. Yeah, right. Like, because you're making that much money. Let's be positive here. I was literally going to open up with this, Joel. It is just the tag titles, but. Like, that was my opening to make this happy and sunshine. It's just the fucking tag titles. But it's something. Could it be just a baked-in excuse of, all right, well, these guys definitely aren't going to be in G1, and you know, because they'll have something to do fucking defending these titles? Or I don't know. Who knows? My point being is this. It was a good match. It was a very good match. I enjoyed it. I enjoyed the finish. I think that the possibilities, and I'm not going to sit here in fantasy book of who's going to be, because it never comes to pass. You know what I mean? Like, it just, you know, it's just an exercise in disappointing ourselves. But I find this tag team to be thoroughly enjoyable. If they have a nice little stretch, you know, we might be talking. Okay. Maybe this is a stretch, but you know, they might, if they have like two or three pretty great matches, they could easily walk away with, like, you know, at least in a top three of tag team of the year for the prestigious.
It's not particularly high bar, is it?
No, it's really not. But you know, the Super J-Cast Awards, they go a long way. It's negotiating power, Joel. They walk into the office and they like, see this? Second place. Super J-Cast Awards. But yeah, that was a good moment, the embrace. And you know, they have, like I said, they might make these titles interesting, so fingers crossed.
I suppose now will be a good time to talk about the G1 announcement. So we've got eight participants from each block. So A block, we got Goto, Oleg, Yuya, Tsuji, Finlay, Evil, Sanada, and Tanahashi. And B block, we've got ELP, Shota, Shingo, Zach, Great Okan, Gabe Kidd, Ren, and Takeshita. So I suppose the notable things from that is that Tanahashi's in his final G1, as we thought he would be, and you know, no problems with that. I mean, that's interesting. And Takeshita is in, so we've avoided that disappointment. So he's in, and he needs to be in there. God help us.
Yeah.
And no other outside involvement, which is a disappointment.
Yeah.
No, we know there's not going to be. So,
isn't there like a little play-in tournament?
Yeah, there are play-ins, but that's already been announced who the participants are for that.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I was hoping for people that I'd heard rumored to be expressing a desire to work in the G1. You know, people like Swerve, Ricochet, but nope, can't. Not allowed. Yeah. Not allowed to work the G1 climax. No. I mean, even despite that, they could. I feel it's just a lineup that is. It's fine. Like these are. This is the heavyweight roster of New Japan Pro Wrestling. So there's nothing particularly egregious or disappointing. It's just it's lacking buzz. Like there's nothing really exciting there to sink your teeth into. And we've had the play-ins announced. So. What are the play-ins? Probably should have found that first. Let's go to the New Japan News website. I know what the matches are. I just don't know exactly when they are and what
the particulars
they equate to. Okay, here we go. So June 23rd, it's Callum Newman versus Taichi for A block play-in and Ishii versus Driller Maloney for a B block play-in. And then July the 4th on Tokyo Budokan, we've got Oyawa versus Don Fale for one spot in the A block.
I'm not calling Yoshihashi, by the way. I'm just not fucking doing it.
He's fat fuck Fale.
Big fuck Fale. Yeah, that's it.
Fat fuck Fale. So yeah, Oyawa versus fat fuck Fale in the A block playing and Yoshihashi versus Chase Owens for the B block playing. So there's no Hiromu, no guests, no buzz.
You know what's the most disappointing part is that that is your heavyweight roster. And you're right. There isn't zero buzz. That's concerning to me. Because even in past years, we've had times where, okay, it's the same people, but at least you're kind of pumped. Oh, okay, this guy's in this block. This guy, we'll see this matchup. We'll see. Like,
we've had such a creepy Best of the Super Juniors, which was far less than the sum of its parts.
I don't think this.
And looking at all these new venues and the Messe buildings that we know are going to look and sound like shit. And all this House of Torture stuff going on. I'm really scared about G1.
I'm really flat on it, man. Like, given that lineup, are there like matches that you're just like salivating at the possibility of? I'm not salivating at anything. I'm just not. I mean, on paper, I don't know what I expected, but there really isn't anything. I wonder how this guy's going to perform. Or I wonder if with this guy.
You know, they're all going to be, they'll have 8 points or 10 points.
Yep. Yeah. You'll have guys who you would think, oh, there's no way they should have 4 points out of the gate. And then they lose, you know, toward the end. Same old.
I just don't know why. And they're doing this thing again where it's the top three qualify.
Oh, I hate that.
Block winners go through. And then the second and third place, it's a little bit different from last year that they face each other across the blocks. But
well, you got to protect Fale.
why was in Best of Super Juniors was it just the block winners go through and there was no drama or very little drama because most of the people were eliminated before it even happened and we had main events and the final block nights with people already eliminated, but in the G1 we're getting six people going through to the next round.
Unbelievable.
I don't get it. I don't understand.
On a tournament that quite honestly probably has the least amount of buzz in years. Like, you're asking someone to do the fucking mathematics of, oh, is this guy going to get in? Oh, this guy's tied. Oh, this guy beat this guy. People don't give a fuck. Like, if of any year, this is the year to be like, okay, it's, you know, block A winner versus block B winner, and away we go. And you can have the semifinal night, you know, kind of deciding some of that. But the it's just fucking preposterous.
Like, when you're playing like the FIFA game, FC 24, whatever it is, you can, if you're getting bored, you can just do sim match. I just want to press a button that's like sim tournament and fast forward to the knockouts, please. I don't have the stomach for it. And I was going to be like, oh, I'm going to do on the Patreon daily G1 audio, but
you're mad.
I don't think anyone wants that.
No. No. We'll have two downloads. Seriously, there are people that truly love this product and they're just going to digest everything that is put out and they're into it. And God bless. God bless those people because they put money in your pocket to keep this going. I can't imagine anyone will give a fuck about night five in Nagata. You know what I mean? What are we doing? What the fuck are we doing? Joel, help me out. Block A, block B. And again, we don't know who's going to win the play-in. Oh, that could change everything. Give me one match from each block that you're truly pants down, ready to fucking fire up the TV. Let's go. Everyone out of the house because I got to watch this fucking show and I went complete quiet. Give me a match.
I've got nothing.
Thank you.
Okay. From A block, Oleg Bolton against Gotto. That's the best I'm giving you.
You know what I mean? You know what I mean? Like when have you pushed the envelope so much? This is your tournament of the year. This is a showcase event. This is where people parachute in. This is where people who are on the fringe and will come to your promotion and watch your shows and share videos online until it gets taken down. They will do that for you, and that is the highlight. All right, what about B block, Joel?
Kidd against Takeshita.
Okay. I mean, that's going to be a good match.
No, I'm going to give you a different one.
All right.
Shota Umino against Takeshita.
How about Shota Umino against Gabe Kidd?
Yeah, that's one that popped into my head as well.
Popped into a lot of people.
I'm really excited about Shota in this G1.
We're not allowed to be, remember? We were told not to be. We're not allowed to be excited by that matchup at all.
No.
Please do not mention that.
A lot of trouble, that one.
Yes, sure did. I don't need an angry Brit at me. Yes, there you go.
So Lady Guy Fieri says, what do you make of this insane bracket? Is Taichi going to get snubbed again, or does advancing him kill the momentum of two guys who could potentially be part of the bigger future of the company? So let's have a look at these play-ins and give predictions. So yeah, by the time we next record, two of these would have already happened. So Corican Hall, June 23rd. So that's next Monday. Mm-hmm. We've got Callum Newman against Taichi. If it were up to me, I'd have both these guys in the tournament. And I don't know. I mean, I know sort of kayfabe, you can sort of spin it that Callum Newman only got, 4 points or whatever it was last year. So he's got to earn his way back in. It feels like this is just kind of a way for him to get a win back, having lost the tag titles over Taichi. But that's if Taichi's not in, one, that would be very weird for Callum to not be in after everything that they did, you know, putting him in the main event of Dontaku.
The guy challenged for the world title.
Yes. That would make me think something is up. Like, he is in the doghouse for something. He's been punished for some reason. Because that's the only way I could make sense of them, this sort of the whiplash of him challenging for the world title and then not being in the G1. And if he is in the G1, then that's going to suck as well, because Taichi should be in it, because he's Taichi. He's awesome. And he's been talking about wanting to be in the G1. It sounds like he's desperate to do it. So this is just, it's weird matchmaking. And I'm assuming Callum Newman's going to go through, but I don't really know.
Again, stranger things have happened, but to me, it's like the minute fucking Taichi and Ishii won the tag titles, that kind of solidified that. And again, he's wrestling the guy who just mere handful of months ago, he was challenging for the world title. I don't know. How do you not have him in? And to further that argument, aside from winning these titles, what has Taichi done this year?
Well, I think the better question is, what has Taichi been allowed to do this
Thank
year?
You. Well, okay. Yes. But I think now, again, they could just be like, well, then it's obvious that Taichi's winning, because let's change things up. Let's keep things goofy. But to me, this is a Callum Newman win. I can't imagine him not being in it. What it means is that, quite honestly, is if he's not in it, then this fucking promotion is just lost their marbles. Because how can a guy who just challenged for the world title now not be eligible for a 16-man? How many people are in this fucking tournament, Joel? It's not 16, is it? It's more than that.
Eight and eight,
right?
No, it's just eight. It's just four individual playoff matches.
No, it's not really in G1.
Oh, 20.
20, okay. So, he's not, you know what I mean? He just challenged for the world title. You mean to tell me he's not in the top 20 of your wrestlers? Come on. He's in.
Then we've also got Ishii versus Driller Maloney. And this is, you know, we're doing all the trilogies this year. So they've had two matches already. I think Driller won during the New Japan Cup. And then Ishii won the strong title match in the States. So rubber match. I mean, I'm assuming it's Driller winning this. Although I just think it's a bit of weird matchmaking because it would have made more sense to me for Driller to wrestle one of the Chase or Farley, given that Chase, because he betrayed them.
Right.
So that would have been the match to make. And I get that, you know, they want to go back to this trilogy, but it doesn't really make sense. Like, you should have Driller being like, fucking let me out, Chase Owens. This fucker betrayed us and smashed the guitar over my head. Like, why is that not the match? Why is this the match? I don't get it. I mean, I'm assuming Driller is going through, and that's okay, I suppose.
Yeah, I mean, again, I feel like all the, and I put all in air quotes, but all the work that you've done to help try to make this guy seem like a legit star, I can't imagine him fucking losing this. But I will say this, though. I feel like these play-in matches, they're more exciting than two-thirds of the fucking G1 lineups, possibly. You know what I mean? Like, I think these matches, I think the matches will be really good. There's plenty on the line. The stakes are high. It could be really good matches. Like, I'm actually looking forward to the play-in. I might not necessarily be like, all right, I'm all in on who's in, but it makes sense at least. Maybe they throw us a fucking swerve. Maybe they throw us a monkey wrench and we're like, oh, well, the crazy New Japan. But I think there'll be very good matches. There's plenty on the line and it'll be fun.
There's also Oyo versus Fat Fuck Farley. I mean, I'm assuming Oyo wins that.
Oh, Farley's winning. Come on. They're not going to have him lose now, right?
Don't speak that evil.
I mean, it's amazing.
Are you
it's
serious? Amazing. Do you think they're going to put Farley in?
You don't think they are?
No. Surely not.
Okay. Then answer me this, fair Joel. Who's the monster in this tournament?
Oleg.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. Right. So, just saying. Let's put it this way. I would not be surprised at the end of the day if he's in it. I could be clutching at straws, but yeah, we'll see.
Then it's Yoshihashi versus Chase Owens, and that's the one that upsets me the most because it seems pretty clear to me, barring a miracle, like prayer circle for Yoshihashi, but barring a miracle, it seems inevitable that Chase Owens is winning this one.
Well, if we're using, I think honestly that one is the one where I'm a little bit on the fence. It would be such a disservice to Yoshihashi, I gotta be honest with you.
Just shoot on Chase Owens?
Here's the thing: I don't hate Chase Owens in the ring. I just feel like, why are we doing this? And again, of all the people that are in pro wrestling, why him? I just don't see why they would go through the hassle of doing all that they've done if this wasn't a vehicle to do spring and launch them into something bigger. I don't know. I wouldn't be surprised if both of them were in, Joel. What do you think of that?
That's for B block, so I'm assuming we need two House of Torture members in both blocks, because otherwise it doesn't work. It's not good.
Yeah, I mean, just think of the houses. You know, one night's going to fall apart.
Mm-hmm.
just the ticket sales, Joel, ticket sales, t-shirts. Mm-hmm.
Sixth match, never openweight championship, Bollock defeat Konosuke Takeshita, 30 minutes, 12 seconds. Bollocks is a new never openweight title.
This was good.
Winner. Good. Very good. I don't think it was as good as a New Beginning match, but still very good. They hit each other really hard, and there were some really creative spots, and, you know, Oleg throwing Takeshita out of the ring and tossing him on the ramp, and the finish was great with him catching the flying knee and transitioning that into the kamikaze. So again, another really well-planned, well-executed trilogy that I think has done great for Oleg to help him establish him as a star. Is he a star? As a potential star. He looked good. He looks good coming out of this. So very unselfish from Takeshita, and just really impressive physically, some of the stuff that they did in the match. Yeah, enjoyed it a lot.
And it does free up, you know, for a little bit more creative finishes possibly in G1. And yeah, it was good. I feel like after this match, and we had the tag title win, we had this match, I kind of felt like we were turning a corner in the sense of, all right, this the beginning of, like, can this show be saved in the second half? Like, I really kind of was feeling positive, or at least trying to talk myself into feeling positive. I don't know, man. They did a lot of damage here. It feels like it's just amazing how you open up with that nonsense. And it just left such a bad taste in my mouth. But I think both guys did very well. And the fact that we're getting G1 participation, so we'll have a decent summer. We'll get some good matches. How deep are you looking at Takeshita in G1?
If it was up to me, he'd probably be winning it. He would be winning it. He should be world champion.
He'd be in world final. He'd be in the finals, definitely for me. So we'll see. Fingers crossed. But who knows? You know. Thank you, Tony Khan, for letting him do the job, though. Well, thank you very much.
God bless you, Tony.
Yeah.
Tony. Then everything ground to a halt. The seventh match, no time limit. Dog Collar Chain death match. King of Darkness Evil defeated David Finlay. 23 minutes, which felt like 23 hours via TKO.
Yeah.
Daryl says, "Are Young Lions adequate substitutes for paramedics? Let's pray that David Finlay is okay after being loaded onto that stretcher by guys who are reprimanded for making rice the wrong way in the dojo." And Noah says, "I think they should have dedicated a block to just House of Torture members. Winner becomes new leader. Thoughts? Seriously, what the hell is going on with House of Torture? And did Evil really have to beat Finlay? Where does he go now?" It just feels like War Dogs are geeks now. They've gone from
being the
hottest, coolest faction, and now, you know, they're fucking about with a tire, wheel san. Clark Connors looks like he's just playing down the clock until he can go and join his partner, Tekla, in AEW.
Gabe
obviously, there's all that stuff going on. And Finlay's just getting jobbed out again and again and again. And I really thought this match could have been good, but the way it was structured was so bizarre, where you had, from the jump, all 10 House of Torture people there. And I thought it was being set up to have some more people run down to kind of even up the odds. Like, honestly, watching it, I thought it was building to Shota. I thought Shota was going to come and save Finlay. Or someone was going to come out at least to try and balance up. But it just never happened. It was just, well, House of Torture got way more people, so they just systematically destroyed the War Dogs. And, you know, I've celebrated Finlay as being one of, I think, or if not the best heavyweight worker on their permanent roster at the moment. And he's just looks like a geek now. And this match was rubbish. It was boring. It was just like a plodding walk and brawl. The best bit of it, I hate to say it, was Fat Fuck Farley doing the splash through the table. Everything else was just sending me to sleep. It was just had no drama, no excitement. There was no suspense. No, it was just a really kind of elongated squash match. And, you know, Finlay more or less doing the stretcher job at the end. It was just weird. And I'm worried about him.
Yeah. Guy loses more than he wins. That's for fucking sure, it feels like. Yeah. I was excited for this match, to be honest with you. I thought they would be. And I thought that some of the things that they tried to do were creative. It's just, I don't know. Maybe was the crowd was flat. I don't know. I don't know. Maybe it was just too much. Like, they crammed it. Cramming 10 pounds of shit in a 5-pound bag, maybe. I don't know. It did seem like it went long, though. It felt like a fucking eternity, to be honest with you. I don't have a good answer for the Evil. I don't have a good answer. And War Dogs feel like, I mean, they just, they're like rats from a sinking ship, it feels like. I don't know how. I don't know why. They feel like the most uncool faction right now. Like, I can't think of another fucking pile of geeks, be honest with you. And how quickly it's fucking fallen. Like, they're at one point, Joel, we were like thoroughly involved, and it's like, okay, this is a new spin on Bullet Club, which concept has like felt like it was on its last legs, was on absolute life support, and it felt like an absolute breath of fresh air. And in 6 months, it feels like the biggest pack of fucking geeks on earth. I don't know. I don't have a good answer here. And don't give me Gabe Kidd, because that guy, boy, oh boy. Whew. I know we're getting there, but I don't know. If you wanted to fucking just get rid of a faction, boy, that is the blueprint, it feels like, of saying, okay, this faction is no more. We're moving on. And what a crying shame, number one. And number two, if that's not the intention, boy, somebody needs to lose their fucking job. That's for sure. Because it is just this is the Stone Roses right here. Like, this is the second album, Stone Roses, where you're like, we waited how long for this? What are we doing? Okay. Lordy Lou. But yep, Evil gets a big win, a definitive win, to say the least. And away we go.
Eighth match, IWGP Global Heavyweight Championship match. Gabe Kidd defeated Yota Tsuji, 23 minutes, 25 seconds. Drill a hole, pile driver. And I really tried with this, Damon. I really did, honestly. Like, I love Gabe Kidd. I made a concerted effort. Like I said last week, I really tried my best to enjoy him while he's still with New Japan. And we know all good things come to an end. I got no problem with him working in AEW on the side. No problem with him signing for them if the right offer comes in. God knows he deserves it after what he's been through and what he's sacrificed. And honestly, looking at the direction of the company, I do not blame him. Go to AEW with my blessing, my son. But I tried my best. My strategy was to ignore all the noise coming from AEW, ignore all the Death Rider storylines, which I don't care about. I wanted to just try and suspend my disbelief once again and buy into him when he says, "Ore wa shinihon desu, work me, brother." I want to be lied to. I just want to feel something. I want to believe for just a little bit that this company means something, that all of this, 366 podcast episodes, 7 years, countless hours stolen from my wife and my children, just lie to me. Make me believe that it was worth something. Let me enjoy New Japan savior Gabe Kidd just for a moment. Give me something for the pain and let me die. And then I realized he's got a Death Rider logo on his knee pads. And then he did a Claudio tribute spot. And then he did John Moxley's finishing move in the climax of the match. And my disappointment is immeasurable and my day is ruined. And I just wanted to enjoy the little bit we had left without the AEW keys being jangled in my face, but I couldn't even have that. His crowning moment of glory, the culmination of his journey from the brink of annihilation to the savior of Shinohon Pro Wrestling, and he had to jangle the keys.
Yeah,
I'm tired, Damon.
It's exhausting, isn't it? Add that to the list, shall we? Shall we get an early add to the list of Gabe Kidd, of people that we've hitched our wagon to, and at the end of the day, boy, what a fucking 6 months. 6 months. Boy, oh boy. This is what happens when the company has no fucking idea what the Tanahashi crocodile tears. Oh, wasn't that nice? All of it. All of it. All the posturing. The thing about it is that when your gimmick is being authentic and it comes about that it's not really authentic, I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. There's only so much people can take people. There's only so much people can take people. And that's where we are. That's where a lot of people are. It's where a lot of people are, where it's like, you know what? Just go. Just go. Just go. Because I'm tired of investing. Tired of investing. It's me investing. It's me investing every time. Give me a payoff. Once. One fucking time. Give me a payoff. Make it worth my while. And I can't sit here and tell you that. And this show, holy moly. Just countless times of, well, I got fucked there. Yeah, we got fucked there. Boy, there's a lot of people got fucked there. This is not how you build a promotion, man. This is not how you build a fan base. I'm just letting you know. You had it for a minute. You had it for a minute. You had it in your hands. It's all about money, babes. It's all about the money. Go for it. Get that bag. Get the bag. We'll sit here with our dicks in our hands like we normally do.
Why did he have to do it in this match? Why did he have to do the AEW shit on the Dominion semi-main event?
Do you care anymore?
I tell you, I did find it funny when he whiffed on that Young Bucks senton thing where Tsuji was dangling for fucking ages like an idiot.
I know.
Gabe completely missed him, landed flat on his ass, and the crowd laughed. That was good shit. But the match wasn't bad. Like, it was nowhere near the quality and the vibe of the New Beginning match. And yeah, he said, we're all tired of hearing it. That Gabe felt real and authentic. This Gabe feels like a guy who wants to have his cake and eat it. He wants to be Mr. New Japan, but also a Death Riders mercenary. He's putting on a performance. He's half-heartedly tried and failed to reconcile two diametrically conflicting personas. And God bless Chris Charlton and Walker Stewart for trying to square that circle.
Yeah.
No mean feat there. Because Gabe clearly gave up on doing that by the time the press conference came around and instead resorted to reading a Teddy Roosevelt quote with all the conviction of David Brent. And look, he did win the crowd back after the match. They seem to still like him. He's on the front cover of Shoe Pro as I Am New Japan. So obviously he's doing something right and he's pulled the wool over their eyes, but not mine, Damon. I will not be fooled. I've seen the light and I'm deeply unhappy as a result.
All right. He's on thin ice. Here's the problem.
Well, he's dead. He's killed it. The whole thing, the single point of failure being whether or not you believe he is ride or die Mr. New Japan. And that's gone. You can't do both things at once.
And you,
it doesn't work.
It doesn't. And that's, again, when your whole point of people rallying around you, and look, it's pro wrestling. I get it. A pro wrestler's going to pro wrestler. Going to pro wrestle. I'm fine. I'm totally cool with that. That's not a big deal. But what you're doing is you're taking advantage of people who have already been taken advantage of. And it's stupid. It's not like we're stealing your mortgage money or, you know, we're fucking, you know, harming your children or, you know,
he ruined a story that we were all really enjoying.
That's it.
That's it.
I mean, that, and at the end of the day, it's a tiny, tiny thing. But being that we do a New Japan Pro Wrestling podcast, it's a big thing. And again, when your gimmick is I am the most authentic guy in this room and that you're not authentic, people turn their back on you real quick. This is what I'm worried about. The fallout from this show and all of this that we've talked about. Like, what is the long-term damage that it seems small, but you add up all of this and you get this show. The match was fine. I think they have better matches in them if there will be better matches. I'm just left puzzled with what product New Japan has doled out for this fucking nonsense. Okay, let's move on.
Morning, ProRes says, is it ironic that the second we all come to an agreement to use guys to their fullest, even if we think they're leaving, that Gabe does the AEW bit and somewhat kills the vibe and undoes all of that progress? Nothing is ruined, but the vibe has changed. At least he should be a good Wrestle Kingdom stepping stone, so who should get that bump beating him for the global title? Is it better for an Oiwa or Yuya or the next foreign star they want to push high like Newman or ELP? Or perhaps...
They don't know.
He should lose the G1... Or should they're he lose confident. The G1, the consolation prize for Takeshita as he takes the next source? I think it should be Shota.
Ooh.
Or, better yet, David Finlay. Have him being the guy to kick Dave Kidd out of the company.
The guy who has lost at every fucking turn, who's become the, the white Goto, if you will. I don't know. I don't know what to do that with that. The problem is that at every turn, it's I don't have any confidence. I don't think they have any confidence, and so now I don't have a wagon to hitch to at this point. That's really what it feels like. I don't have a wagon to fucking hitch to.
Yeah, I'm just finding myself circling back to Shota Umino just out of sheer spite at this point.
How about you?
Right. Sure, why not? Whatever.
Right, exactly. Thank you. That's exactly it. That's exact. Sure. Go ahead, whatever. That's exact. I mean, you've nailed it. Perfect. Okay, next.
Right, let's try and end this podcast with some good vibes. IWGP World Heavyweight Championship match, Rocky Goto defeated Shingo Takagi in 28 minutes, 25 seconds. GTR Kai, say some good stuff about this, please.
It was a good match. It was honestly, if you're going to tune in for a match, like if you're just parachuting in, this is the match. I thought the match was very good, which is good and bad. It's good because here we are in 2025, and we're talking about, again, Hiroki Goto being a star of a show. We're talking about Shingo being a star of the show, which is fantastic. I know we just talked about Cal Newman challenging for a title, but doesn't it feel like there's a definite line in the sand of these are the real stars, guys, and then the other guys are more you know, there's a glass ceiling here, and it's this guy. You know. And the proof is in the pudding, because if you were talking about matches, this one probably got the most love, I would think. It's concerning because they don't trust anybody, it feels like, to take that next leap. And what we once thought was a placeholder has become a long-term solution. That is not good. I know everyone loves the vibes. I know everyone is you know, loving the idea of Hiroki Goto on this magical run.
What's the exit strategy?
There is none. There is none. You tell me what the exit strategy is, because I don't see it. Is Zach your edge?
I mean, okay. If it's, let's say, Yota Tsuji wins the G1 and beats Goto for the World Heavyweight title main event next year's Wrestle Kingdom, is that good?
Yota Tsuji he's there. I'm somewhat indifferent on Yota Tsuji. I'm going to be honest with you.
He should have beaten Sanada for the title 2 years ago.
Yes. Hiroki Goto, Yota Tsuji. Main event, Wrestle Kingdom. Pants down?
Not really.
Not really at all. Not really at all. Not really at all. I can't even say not really at all. Look, maybe you're asking me at a bad time, because literally it's been a fucking funeral for an hour and 36 minutes. You know what I mean? I've had more fun in a fucking morgue. But I'm not excited by that. I am not excited by that. I Where's Dwayne Johnson when you need him?
See you next week.
You know what, though? I will say this. There are people that fucking hate these fucking shows, but there are, the vast majority of people love these shows. They really love these shows. Because
I really hope it's been cathartic, because I feel bad now.
I don't feel bad. It is what it is. Blame them. Don't blame us.
They started it. They shouldn't have done a shit. Right. Dominion.
Yes. They knew what they were getting themselves into. I say, let them crash. Such a great line. They did it. We're just reacting to that. We're giving you what we know. And trust me, there are plenty of people that feel the same way. And maybe we're a little over the top. Okay, we're good at that. I think there's the vast majority of people listening to this nonsense, like, are saying yes, and they're yelling, and their wives are looking at them like, why are you yelling at the radio? Well, because this, and I'm right there with you. There's no exit strategy, or at least none that we can see. And maybe they're flying by the fucking seat of their pants. Who knows? If they need help, give us a call. Slide into Joel's DMs. We'll hook you up with some interesting fucking ways to get the Wrestle Kingdom. But the idea of Yota Tsuji and Hirooki Goto, let's put it this way. I'm not setting my alarm for 2 a.m. Eastern Standard Time to watch. Let's put it that way.
I was just going to
hammer home the point of, and I feel sorry for the people who have invested a lot of money once again for that main event. We need Dwayne Johnson. We need the boss, the final boss, Joel,
the disruptor. Please, yes. Disrupt us, Dwayne. Yes. We need to be disrupted.
Come on, baby. Come on, baby.
What if he appears as he's the ultimate architect behind the House of Torture?
Wouldn't that be something?
I'd almost forgive it then.
I'd almost forgive it too, to be honest. Like if he doesn't even have to even get in the fucking ring. He just goes in on that big stage out there in center field and fucking the music hits and he's like, I'm a fucking ultimate ball, and does his whole shtick.
No, I want like backstage footage of him. At Dominion 2020, in the middle of the pandemic, he's backstage with Evil and Dick Togo giving them the orders. He's just like the spark that started this whole thing.
That, you know, they could do that,
while,
right?
While the music from Saw is playing. And you're like, oh shit, it was The Rock the whole time.
The whole time. Oh, I tell you what. That would be our last show, I think, right? We would officially end it.
We should have stopped after Wrestle Kingdom 14.
We had it. We had to keep going, Joel. We just had to keep going. Ah, boy. All right. Well, listen. As we always say, I enjoy talking to you, and we treat this as if we showed up at the pub and we turned on the recorder and we talk about New Japan Pro Wrestling. So there you go. Hopefully, this wasn't too much of a fucking funeral for everyone, but they have a chance to come back strong. They can't go fucking any lower than they are right now. And we'll see what happens, right? That's it. Hope is all we need. Hope is all we need.
Yeah, if Yoshihashi and Taichi make it into the G1, then all is forgiven.
Yep. I say both of them just start shooting. Just shoot on them.
Yes. Yeah, just like cinch in like a tight inside cradle.
And then be like, now what? Now what? Now what, Kikuchi? Are you putting in this G1? Huh? Oh, boy. Look at this. We're talking about wrestlers shooting each other. It's terrible. All right. What are we doing? We're wrapping it up?
Yeah. See you next week, everyone.
Hello everyone, my name is Taylor.
And I'm Kelly.
And we are the co-hosts of Jumping Bomb Audio, the number one show all about the world of Joshi Pro Wrestling. Episodes drop every other Monday, where we discuss the biggest Joshi news review shows, and preview the hottest upcoming Joshi action.
So whether you're a new fan or an old fan, we've got something here for you at Jumping Bomb Audio.
Check us out on the Voices of Wrestling Podcast Network.